Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, a show where we interview the most influential people in real estate to teach you how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more customers. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. I'm very excited to have a special guest, Gogo, on today to talk about marketing, talk about sales, talk about business, talk about anything under the sun. But we're more so excited to have just a great conversation about real estate and how you as a real estate agent can grow your business from somebody that has a ton of experience doing so. Gogo, thank you so much for taking some time and sharing some of your insights with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, let's dive into this. Who is Gogo? How did you get to where you are today?
Well, my real name is Gyöngyvén Vetky. I was born in Romania, Transylvania, and moved to the US when I was 21 all by myself. I got this great idea that I'm going to America to chase my American dream. So I did back in 2003. And the very first time I got, well, the Gogo name comes, I came as an au pair. And my host parents and myself, we were communicating via email. They couldn't say my real name. So they asked me originally if they can call me Gogo. And then eventually when I had a real job, call it a real job, corporate America, they asked me if they can call me Gwen because they didn't think Gogo was professional enough. So since I was answering phones and things like that at my job, they didn't want me to be Gogo. Understandably, it's the wrong 1-800 number. But when I got into real estate, I'm not a Gwen. You know, I mean, I'm Gogo and that's my nickname. It's always been. So I pretty much sent out a text and asked my friends, hey, I'm getting my real estate license. And this was right after the crash. So first of all, they all thought I was crazy that I'm getting into real estate. And then I asked them, I said, hey, should I stay Gwen or should I go with my real name, Gogo, with my real nickname? And most of them said to stay Gwen because it just sounds more professional. But I thought and my gut feeling said that I should go as Gogo. If you drove by a yard sign and you saw Gwen on it or you saw Gogo on it, which one would you remember? Gogo, in my opinion. Gogo, isn't it? So I figured I said, okay, I'm just going to follow my gut feeling. So that's how Gogo's Real Estate started about. When I got my license, I had about $6 to my name. So no marketing budget, no sphere of influence, barely speaking English, no education, no experience. Like I could continue all the list of things that I didn't have. And then I started Gogo's Real Estate on Facebook originally because I didn't have that marketing budget. I had to figure out a way to build a brand and make a name for myself. And at the time, nothing I could think of was more or easier, I should say, or free than social media. So that's how Gogo's Real Estate started. That was the reason behind it. I didn't have money.
There you go. Talk us through that. What was that like, starting a business basically from scratch on social media? Talk us through some of the pains and pitfalls. What were some of the lessons that you learned in doing that?
Oh gosh, it's been now 7-8 years that I had my license. And I did the math a couple of days ago. On average, I posted about 11 to 14 times a day. So it was over 38,000 posts I think I made in the 8 years. In average, my posts are worth about $35 a day. So the way I look at it, I did about $45 million in sales and whatever that, you know, means in commissions times 3%. And so I did the math. I divided the 38,000 posts by that amount of sales and commissions. And I was like, okay, my posts are about $35 a piece. The reason why it's important is because so many people think that social media and the lead generation portion of it works like, ooh, I posted. Okay, now I'm going to sit and I'm going to wait and the lead should just pour in. You know, I'm going to just look at my watch and wait them come in. And it doesn't work like that. You know, I mean, just like anything, just like your cold calling. When I decided that social media is my avenue of lead generating, I also decided at the same time, I am not willing to cold call. I'm not willing to door knock. I am not willing to send out mailers and spend money on marketing. I don't do open houses. I don't. It's a long list of what I think that I don't like doing. So then I had to replace it with social media. And so I take my job, social media, very, very seriously. That is my job. So when I post, it's not like you're going to post and the leads are going to come in. You're going to post with every post to make more and more and more awareness of your brand and of yourself existing and that you're a realtor. And in my opinion, it's not necessarily that you're waiting for that lead to come in. You're just reminding them every day that you're a realtor. So if and when they need one, they won't think of anybody else to call but you. People are on average on the market every 7 years for about 6 months. and they also move about 7 miles radius from where they lived prior to that. So you have to keep that in mind. You have to stay in front of them for all those years. So then when they finally, they are ready, they will call you. So that's the thing with my business. They call me, I don't call them. I don't cold call. I don't even warm call. So they call me when they're ready. We list your home. Let's go. Let's rock and roll. Let's find you one where you're going to go. All that stuff. So I do things a little bit differently than the average agent.
Did you always...
There's no overnight success.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Did you always have that mindset that, you know, I'm not going to call you, you're going to call me? You know, I would imagine getting into the business with, as you, I don't know if you mentioned, like you didn't have a whole lot of money, no marketing money, none of those types of things. Was it always just like, I'm going to set the standard that I'm not calling anybody, they can call me, I'm just going to be myself? And was there a time gap where, you know, that took a minute for that to kick in, or did it, you know, obviously nothing happens, you know, instantly, but talk me through.
Well, there was definitely a time gap. In my very first year, I made $16,000. In my second year, I made 36 in my third year. So it, you know, I mean, yes, I doubled my business pretty much year after year, but it does take time. You know what I mean? So when I made that decision that I am not comfortable with cold calling, I was I was willing to stick it out in the industry, and I was willing for my success to take longer than what I could have if I cold called, because I could just not get myself to cold call. For me to back someone for their business, it is so against my core being that I literally, as much as I'm a talker, I can't freaking open my mouth to say something. You know what I mean? So it was just not an option for me. I just know I cannot get myself to do that. So then I had to choose, okay, am I going to imagine where my career could be if I did cold call?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I could have doubled it, tripled it, but it's just, I'm not willing to do things that I'm not willing to do.
Yeah. Love it. What would you post? What would you talk about? What would you put out there?
Anything. I said, most of the agents are like, well, I'm so new. There is really nothing. I'm not really working with anybody. I don't know what's going, you know, what am I going to post about? I don't know much about the industry. Well, I'll post about how much you don't know. You know, post about the process of what it takes to become that expert realtor. How many classes you have to go through? What you learned today? You know, how hard it is to get a client. Like whatever that you're going through that day, post about that. So they can see that you're trying, that they can see that you're hustling, that you're constantly in it and that you're not going anywhere. And also, if you think about it, most of your friends and family know that you just got your license. So it's going to be very hard to convert them into a client because their biggest asset, they're not going to work with you, you don't know anything about the business. So initially, it's very hard to get clients and friends and family not going to work with you. So you are kind of out there to get strangers. And I chose the social media route to do that.
Do you feel like hindsight being 2020 that it might have been a better decision for you back in the day to go work maybe as like a buyer's agent or a showing specialist under somebody else to gain some of those at-bats? Or do you feel like the way that you did it is the way that you should do it?
Well, you know, it's hard to, they always say that you can tell people whatever you want to tell people, but they're going to do what you did.
Right.
So I did not do that. For me to, I was asked many times and times over to join people's teams. And, you know, I just couldn't do it. I could not imagine making somebody else a name. I would rather fail making myself a name than to build somebody else's. That's the truth, honest answer to that question. But knowing what I know today, knowing that I would have gone out and would have built my brand anyway, mm-hmm. I would have probably joined a team for 6 months to a year. My brain is like a sponge. I soak up any information that, you know, I want to know the answer to. I'm going to go to the person. I'm going to ask them until they give me the answer. So I would have soaked up all that information. And then I would have gone out and started my own business. Instead, it took me longer. I can't say I have it all figured out because I don't. But everything that I did figure out, I did it on my own. So it did take a little bit longer. So if you want to speed up the process, even if you know that you're not going to build somebody else's name, but you're doing it just to gain that information, that is probably the fastest way of doing it is by joining somebody else's team.
I love it. I think that not a lot of people walk into the industry as true entrepreneurs, right? I mean, you seem like a true entrepreneur, and I think that I can relate to you in a large degree, because for me, what doesn't make sense to most people makes perfect sense to me. Like, I never in my wildest dreams thought it made sense to go work for somebody else. I've had like 1 to 2 real jobs my entire life. I've been self-employed since I was 19. And I've just, the whole, like, even when I was going bankrupt, I was bankrupt at 23. Somebody's like, you just need to go get a job and like make, you know, sales money. I'm like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would I go get a job working for somebody else? That's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. Even though I mean,
you would think you would question yourself at that point, though, like,
yeah, you think
maybe
you would.
I am not doing something right.
And instead,
I'm sure you looked at it as a lesson. You're like, okay, where did I fuck up? Because you did. Yeah. What did I learn from it?
Exactly.
How are we going to not do that again?
I could have probably
worked for somebody else.
I probably could have walked onto like a car lot or something like that and made $250,000 in a year. I was a good salesperson, but I was making some dumb business decisions instead because getting a job didn't make sense to me. I was like, okay, I got to figure out where I messed up, how I messed up, and how I could do better, and then go back for another at bat. Like, and that's what ended up, you know, solving my problems anyways, was it wasn't necessarily that I was a bad business person. It was that I was just like a dumb person. Like I was a young kid. I was making a lot of dumb decisions. And that's what ended up, you know, pushing me through some of the trials and tribulations is just poor decisions. And when you learn from those things, it's amazing what can happen. But I never, like, to me, it makes total sense to work for $16,000 a year. At least I'm doing it for myself. I'm not doing it for you. And then the next year, that makes total sense to me. But what I would say, and it seems like we both have those, I think that agents walking into the business today should go be on a, you know, a buyer's agent for at least 6 months because you're going to get.
I mean, I remember my first client showed them houses. I didn't even know how to freaking open a lockbox. I don't teach you that. They don't teach you how to schedule a showing. So I got that part. I got it for figuring out how I'm going to schedule that. How are we going to get into the home? I showed it to them. I had my listing ticket with me. And I remember seeing her face and she was like, I love it. Let's make an offer. And I was like, fuck. Excuse my friend. How do you make an offer? I can't let my client know that, but they don't teach you that. They don't teach you how to write contracts. They don't teach you what contracts you're going to need. They don't teach you about the lending, you know, the different pre-approval letters and what type of down payment they need for that. They don't, like, there's so much they don't teach you. What type of inspection they're going to need? Do they need inspection? Can they do their own? You know what I mean? It's like, all of that, like none of that. And the fastest way to learn all that is by going through those transactions. But when you don't have the transactions, if you have to sit and wait to generate your own, it's just going to take so much longer. If you can go dive in, elbow deep, and lead, and turn them over, then you're going to learn all those in and outs of every transaction. Within 6 months to a year, you're good to go and control your own. You still have to realize and learn how to lead generate. Because, you know, if you go on a team, I think the downfall to going on a team is those leads are fed to you. So even though you gain the experience, and I think it's a false feeling, so many agents, and I had that on my team. Sorry, I had my child called. I had that on my team happen to me multiple times over where they are with you for about 6 months and they feel like, I got this. You know what I mean? And then they go out on their own because what they do have is they gain the experience. But what they didn't realize is through the process, they didn't learn how to lead generate because it was fed to them. So when they go out on their own, they just kind of get lost because they feel like, oh, this is easy. And it is easy when it's fed to you. I wish people would just give me leads every day. You know what I mean? But the lead generation portion of it is the hard part.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be for sure. I mean, what you're describing sounds like, you know, in America, when you go to school for 12 years, you know, grade school and basically you learn a bunch of useless information. You don't actually learn how to live your life. You don't learn how to pay taxes. You don't learn how to pay bills. You know, it sounds exactly like what real estate school is.
Yeah, and then you go out and get a real job.
You go to college and get a business degree and then you start a business and actually learn something. So there's a lot of very interesting stuff for sure. You're talking about lead generation. You know, it's one of the more difficult things to really understand as you walk into the industry. It's one of the most important things that you know, an agent can do. It's the oxygen that starts to breathe into a business. But what you said is that when you got into business, yours was more like, I'm going to build a brand. And when people are ready, they'll call me, which is different. That's not necessarily lead generation. So at least in my opinion, how did you go about, or today, you know, I know you do a lot of training. How do you teach somebody today to generate leads versus build a brand? Like, how do you distinct that? What are some things that you do to help new agents today that understand that?
Yeah, I don't think you can separate the two though. So if you want the lead generation, what I have where they're calling you, you do have to build a brand. The only reason they're calling me is because I made the name for myself. Otherwise they wouldn't. They would call somebody else who has that going on for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So in my case, you can't not do one and expect the other. You can't not right. build your brand and expect sit on your tush and expect that the calls are going to come in. Mm-hmm. So build, you know, brand building is my job. Your social media is my job. Constantly posting and reminding people that my name is Gogo Bethke and I'm a realtor and I can help you nationwide is my job. So it's not like I'm sitting still and waiting for the leads to pour in. It's just I'm not, I'm grabbing a cell phone for a different reason, not to dial, but to post.
Gotcha. I got you.
Yeah, so, I mean, so it's not, yeah.
What were those conversations like? I mean, social selling, I guess, is what I used to call it, is how I got started. You know, I'd post a ton on social media when I didn't have much in the way of opportunity.
So I don't social sell either. So if you look at my posts, I don't usually talk much about, hey, I'm a realtor and do you want to come buy or sell a house with me? I pretty much talk about the good, bad, and the ugly of the process of being a realtor, all of the transactions and what happened today and this and that, but I don't ask for the business. And if you look at any of my posts, almost never I ask for someone's business.
Right. And so as a byproduct, people will reach out and connect with you, right?
Yeah. I'm just reminding them that I'm a realtor.
Right. What are those conversations like? You know, so let's say you post something and you're just putting out really good content and then somebody reacts to it via a comment or they send you a message. What is that interaction like? Walk us through that.
So for example, I'm going to say Katie, the person who texted me this morning. Her name is Katie, and she just sent me a text message. I met her at church years and years ago. We became Facebook friends, so she sees my post all the time. God knows, it's probably been 6 years last time I saw her. And she just messaged me today, hey, Gogo, can you send me a local inspector's phone number that you trust? We are thinking about putting our home on the market, and we would like to have it inspected first to see what we need to do. And so I just messaged her. I said, hey, Katie, when would be a good time to talk? Because that's not really the true process. I said, usually buyers that pay for the inspection. I said, let's just talk. I'll explain the process and then you can decide if you still feel like you need an inspector prior to listing. And if you do, then I'll send you the information. And she was like, yeah, we are golfing right now. I'll call you this afternoon. I said, perfect.
Love it. So just figuring out inside of the conversation how you can leverage your knowledge and expertise to add value, right? Basically just how can I help, come from a servant type, you know, of mindset. And so when somebody reaches out to you, it's not like, hey, let me sell you something really fast. It's, hey, how can I help you? And if at some point down the road this leads to a sale, it will do so naturally, not so much me trying to steer the conversation there. Yeah?
Exactly. Because if I just sent an inspector's phone number, I was just about to make them spend $1,000 that was unnecessary. Mm. You know, I mean, that is not the process. And because they lived in their home for so long, they probably don't remember or understand what the process is like. Mm-hmm. At least in our area, sellers don't usually do a home inspection prior to that. It is conflict of interest. So that inspection really worth nothing. So they just threw $1,000 at the wind. Yes, the inspector might say, yeah, fix this or fix that or do this or do that. But the truth is the buyer's inspector might not see that. Mm-hmm. So don't fix something that's not broken. Don't spend money on things that are not broken. So in my opinion, that's unnecessary spending. So I rather explain for the process and how that works. Usually I come out before inspection anyway. I'm no inspector by no means. Before listing, sorry. But I would come out before listing anyway, I would see the home. So if anything's obvious, then I know through my experience, you know, through the years of what needs to be fixed or changed or painted or whatever, then I would suggest that. But that's free versus you spending $1,000 to get the same answer. And then when they do the inspection, then we're going to know really what's wrong with the home and how are we going to negotiate it or how are we going to fix it, not fix it, put it back in the market, not put it back in the market, give a seller's credit, yada, yada, reduce the price.
How do you feel like this helps your brand? Like when you're just having those good value add expertise, you know, service-based type conversations, like what does this do for you?
5-star reviews.
Yeah. Referrals.
Yeah. If you go me anywhere on 5-star review, I only had 1 2-star review from someone I never worked with. And I called him out on it. I didn't delete it off there. I just said, hey, listen, I don't know. You don't know me. We never worked together. I don't know why you took the time of the day to leave me a bad review unless it's competition. You know how that works. But yeah, no, it's when people are happy and when you're truly serving them and their best interest, they're more than happy to leave your review, more than happy to refer you to their friends and family because they know they are in good hands. So that's pretty much my business is 100% social media or through influence of best clients.
And have you developed like a team of your own, brokerage of your own, where you're now teaching people this process?
Yeah. So I'm with eXp. I don't know how familiar you are with eXp. I switched to them in October of last year. So in the 9 months that I've been with the company, I have brought over 51 agents that also joined. And I, you know, I talked to them, I explained the process of the company. They fell in love with it just like I did. So 51 of them joined. Those are my first generation. So we call them first generation, everybody that you personally bring to the company or tell about AFC to them. And then they also brought 32. So we are in 80 something in my downline, what it's called here at the XP. So we are in 18 different states also. So we can cover quite a large portion of the US. And that's how it rose here. So yes, I have a team, but it's just different. When I refer out, of course, I would refer to my team before I would refer to anybody else that is not on my team. And if they're not on my team or I don't have a team member in the area, then I would try to tell them about EXP and see if they would be interested in coming over before I would give them the lead.
If you don't mind, give me your plan. Give me your blueprint, like 3 to 5 things that, you know, you got a new agent, maybe that's come over to XP because they see how valuable you are and how much insights you have and how great your business is. What are you going to coach them on? What are you going to tell them? Hey, you're new in the business. Here's how you go from start to finish. Let's grow your business. What does that look like?
So we have, through the years I used to coach, and then I realized there's only one of me and only 24 hours in a day. So now what I do is team coaching. So every Wednesday, so everybody that joined the XP and named me as their sponsor, we call that group, we call it Team GoGo. The reason why is just so we all belong somewhere and we can give it a name. Every Wednesday at 1 o'clock in Team GoGo, we have a live training because we are in different states, 18 different states as of now. Our training is through Zoom. So everybody just logs in if they're in the car, if they're at home, if they're beachside, poolside, showing the house, whatever they're doing. And they can just log in wherever they at. Every Wednesday is a different subject. Sometimes we have vendors that come in and talk about their business. So last week we had total house inspections, talking about the inspection process and literally showing all kinds of, sorry, I keep getting calls. Are you there? And literally showing what to look for, what not to look for, like an actual slideshow with pictures and things like that. You know, what is an old roof look like versus a newer roof? What is, you know, if a crack is going horizontally in the basement versus vertically, what does that mean? That kind of stuff. So literally going through an inspection process. The week before we had an online real estate school. I'm all about passive income. Warren Buffett says, if you can't figure out how to make money while you're sleeping, you'll never be rich. So I'm all about teaching everybody how to, of course, make the max commission, but not necessarily have to chase that commission, have money coming in from many different ways so you can support your family, even if the market crashes. So 2 weeks ago, we had an online real estate company that literally teaches their credit hour accredited real estate company where almost any state, I don't know how many, I think in 30 different states they are in, you can go online and get your real estate license. So my team got a training on that, how the platform works. They can sign up as an affiliate. And then every time somebody, how many times did you have the conversation with somebody who's like, hey, I want to be a realtor. You're like, okay, go here. And I mean, so that's another way for my team members to make, you know, 25, 30, 40, 50, 60 bucks, however. So it's an affiliate program that they can sign up. When they share that link and somebody signs up, they make a certain percentage of that class's value that they just sold to that agent who's signing up to get a license. So that was last week. This week, I don't know who we have this week. Christy usually sets those up. So we are usually scheduled out, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 months. So we do that. GoGo's bootcamp that I created. So that's over 20 hours of videos of how I built my brand and how I lead generate, how our systems and processes work. So there's 3 different series. The first one is social media and branding, pretty much how you set up all of your different platforms, what to do, what not to do on these platforms. And the second series is operations, how to work in your business. And pretty much buy side, listing side, open houses, that kind of stuff, processes, files, how do I run a CMA, how do I make a Facebook post, like all of those things, CRM programs, everything that operations-wise we need to run GoGo's real estate. And then the third series is how to work on your business and then not in your business. Because eventually you get to a point in your career where you want to grow it. And the only way to grow it is by removing yourself from the business. And so that's the third series is how to work on your business to be able to replace yourself. Because if one day you want to sell your business, if you are your business, you can't sell it. The business has to be able to run without you. So that's the third series. And then we also have workshop where Mark Z and myself teach about a 10-week series. Every week is about an hour long. That was also recorded. That's called a workshop. And that's pretty much everything from, I mean, Mark has a team over 40 agents locally here on his team. He runs an actual small brokerage style team where mine is nationwide. So we do it totally differently. So all our training was from his perspective and from mine. How do everything, how this happens the day to day. So my team gets so much training. I mean, just think about it. It's over 20. Sorry, honey, I'm on a podcast. It's over 20 hours of videos that they get to watch, and it's in the comfort of their own home. They also get access to me. They can call me anytime, any reason. Like, I just talked to this agent this morning. She couldn't find her stocks in the system. I showed her how to update her, you know, her system and how to refresh it and all that. So it just depends on what they need. That's why I don't coach for money anymore, is because I want to be able to be available for my people that decided to come over to AC.
Awesome. That's a ton of great information on you guys and what you're up to now. If somebody was to go through your boot camp and begin to go through, talk me through just tactfully, just give me a couple of tips, tricks, you know, insights. What would somebody need to do, newer agent or maybe an agent that's kind of stalled at production? They're trying to figure out how to grow their business up and they want to use social media. Like, 1, 2, 3, what should I do? Step one, step two, step three, to begin to build a brand on social media.
First, figure out your name. Most realtors have the issue with, I'm your favorite hometown realtor.com. Then it's Brendan Smith on one page. And then it's Brendan sells houses on Instagram. You can't do that. You know what I mean? Whatever your name is, I'm Gogo Bethke or Gogo's Real Estate everywhere. Wherever I have to have my license name is Gogo Bethke. Wherever I have to, I can be whatever, it's Gogo's Real Estate. So name is the number one most important thing. Then picture, image recognition, face recognition. That's the number two most important thing. I'm sure you can imagine Starbucks if I told you to imagine Starbucks or Target. Your goal is to be able to people to be able to close their eyes and imagine you see your face and know that you're a realtor. So the photo that you post, it has to be on every single platform, the same photo. If you look at my profiles, it's the same lady in the red on every single profile. And you have to edit your photos. You can't just take a selfie and it's blurry and I can see up in your nostrils and I post it just because you took a photo. Doesn't work like that. So your Instagram profile or your Facebook profile is your storefront. You have to look at it that you're selling a product and the product is you. So you have to make it pretty. If not, they're just going to pass right by your store and going to go into the next one that made it pretty. So I pretty much walk you through everything, the do's and don'ts, you know, what apps I use, what vendors I use to help me grow, everything that I do, my discounted pricing, everything is a part of Google's Bootcamp.
Love it. So I only heard two there, if you don't mind. Figure out your name and then your image. What else could I do to become better with social media?
Oh, I mean, the list of things that you need to do is very, very long. I'm not going to give away all of my secrets over the phone here, but it just like anything else you look at, it's your job. So if you want social media to work, you can't hire it out. It has to be about you. You are your business. So all of those things, the faster you realize, the more you promote yourself, the faster you're going to be able to build a brand. You can build the brand on your last listing and your newest open house and the closing gifts that you just did. It has to be about you.
I agree that content creation needs to become the agent's job. Just because you're in business doesn't mean that you need to be the one doing the business. How did you kind of learn to make that transition? What was it? You know, hey, I'm going to focus on my brand. I'm going to let other people focus.
You start seeing it. Yeah, you start seeing it on the posts that you make. You see what works and what doesn't. You know, when you post of a house and you do a little blah, 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 maybe 7 people going to like it, you're going to get no comments. And then you post something about yourself, you're going to have 500 people like it, and you get 17 comments. You know what I mean? So it's just, you'll see as you post what's working and what doesn't. And then of course, yes, just as you said, you do have to eliminate many, many steps from your plate. Like there are certain things, it's not that I can't do the dishes. It's just, that's not the best way for me to spend my time. If I took the time and made a post, in average, as we talked about earlier, I would make $35 per post. So if that is $35 and I did, and now I'm paying somebody $13, $15, $18 an hour to do the dishes, I just made money. Make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes great sense. What made you calculate that, by the way? What made you sit down and say, I want to figure out how much each post I've ever made has earned me? What made you go down that path?
Well, because people want instant fame. And it doesn't work like that. So people think that, oh, I'm Gogo and now I have 38,000 followers and that happened from yesterday because I made one post. No, it doesn't. So I was sick and tired of explaining it to people. When I decided to do this, I decided to be consistent. I decided to post every single day, multiple times of the day because it's my job. It's just like most people who are, you know, Tom Ferry followers. They do the every morning from 8 to 10, they're cold calling. Okay, so if you decided with that avenue, I'm happy for you, regenerating your leads, do that. that wasn't one avenue for me. So when I decided to do that, then every day from 8 to 10, I need to post. And that's the difference. Most people post one time and then sit high for 3 weeks and see, well, nothing happened. I didn't get a lead. But it doesn't work like that. So that's why I did the math. I did the math to see how many times did I freaking post to generate $45 million worth of real estate transactions. It wasn't overnight. You know, I mean, that's why I did the math for people to realize, and I posted 38,000 times. It's just like, I don't know if you knew that about the light bulb, but hit the light bulb 1,000 times before it finally worked. Imagine if he gave up at, I don't know, 999 times. And he's like, okay, this is clearly not going to work, and gave up. None of us would have electricity today. Yeah, I mean, so it's like whatever avenue you choose, it's not an overnight success. So you have to give it your time. You have to be consistent. You have to figure out the content, which I just post pretty much whenever I get the inspiration, whatever.
Love it. Awesome, Gogo. I know you're very busy, and I appreciate you taking the time to sit and chat with us a little bit. Definitely some valuable insights. If somebody wanted to connect with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Gogo's Real Estate. And Instagram probably the best, but anywhere you Google Real Estate, Instagram is your quickest response. So
awesome. Well, we'll make sure that we link that up in the show notes. Guys, thank you again for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. Continue to listen to us on our website, rate us on iTunes and Google Play. We will see you on the next episode. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Marketing Genius Podcast. Please make sure you remember to rate us on iTunes and Google Play so we can continue to bring you interviews of some of the most influential people in real estate to help you grow your business.